Uploading the virus.
Eagle One, the package is being delivered.
So, Roshan Abraham, thank you for coming on to Cyber. I'm experimenting with the soft opening thing, by the way. I don't know how well it's going to go all the time, but I think it sounds a little bit better. How are you doing?
I'm good. Do you usually do a hard opening?
Yeah. We usually do like I read a whole introduction, like I make a big to do, and I've stopped doing that because I've noticed that like most of the podcasts I listen to don't do that. And, the other thing is like now is twice in a row that I've mentioned the fact that we're doing it slower and softer in the opening of the podcast on the podcast. So I can't do like this is the last time I could get away with lampshading it. So thank you for being here. For that, talk about landlords and the shitty things they're doing with me today.
Anytime.
So you filed something. I was wondering if I could ask you about this because we're going to be talking about mostly Rhino and security deposits and like a new fun way that a new company comes in and kind of becomes a new middleman and screws people over. But before we get to that, you published something today that I only got a chance to glance at, but I think is kind of connected to what we're talking about here. And I wondered if I could ask you about it. The Real Page story that you guys just published.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
I mean, this is basically, about a year ago, ProPublica had an investigation into a company called RealPage that had a software called YieldStar that was essentially for all its clients who were landlords. It was basically setting the rent for all of the units that those clients had using its own proprietary algorithm. And after that investigation, a few things happened. There were lawsuits all over the country. There were, I think, like 20 lawsuits just for like that company, RealPage, that all got consolidated into one big lawsuit in a federal district court, and that all those lawsuits were consolidated into one lawsuit in Tennessee. And there was another company called Yardi that was doing pretty much the same exact thing, with having rent setting software where, all their clients were basically accepting recommendations on rent based on this algorithm. And so I guess I should just back up and say like the issue with that is essentially like all these landlords, like in theory and like in a normal market, I guess, they should all be competitors. But when you have one company setting the rent for all these landlords who work for them, and if there's like millions of units that they handle, they're essentially eliminating competition. They're operating as a cartel, and they're violating federal law if that can be proven in court. So there's all these class actions, and then the DOJ is investigating both companies, Yardi and RealPage, and they're I guess the newest bit of information on this whole story, because the lawsuits were filed a year ago, consolidated April of this year. But we're getting to the point where like the hearings are going to start in like November. And last week, the DOJ basically filed a request for comment. And they will decide in the next few weeks whether they're submitting a statement of interest which would basically like formally declare that they're going to be involved in the hearing, that they're gonna weigh in and provide their analysis during the class action hearing against RealPage. So that's the story there.
So I see this kind of theme developing basically in everything I read about how screwed real estate is, how screwed renting is, where landlords, people that own the property, investment groups are kind of finding third-party middlemen to kind of create abstractions and defer responsibility. It's like, well, we're not raising your rent. It's the service we use called RealPage that is algorithmically adjusting things. And that also, I think, goes to the main story that we're going to be talking about today, which is about a company called Rhino, and there's other companies as well, that is all about security deposits and a new middleman coming in and lovingly, temptingly offering renters something that looks like a good deal on the surface, but is actually a terrible trap, is what it seems like to me. And I'm curious at the top, what's the biggest security deposit that you've ever paid?
I mean, I think in New York City, there's laws where it can only be 1 month's rent, because I've never paid a security deposit that was beyond my 1 month's rent. So, you know, I paying like $920 for my current apartment. And that's probably the highest rent I've paid. Fortunately for New York, that's pretty low. But yeah, so that's, you know, fortunately it has not gone above 1 month's rent for me. But it's still pretty, you know, it's annoying to have to scrounge up that money whenever you're moving, which I think is one of the reasons that these kinds of companies have kind of sprouted up and intervened, arguably in a predatory way to quote unquote solve that problem.
Yeah. So I'm no longer renting, thank God, but it is new. Most of my life, like, most of my adult life, I rented. And the cycle is basically thus, like, you get a place, it's reasonable, you move in, you pay an enormous security deposit, you leave. If you're lucky, maybe you get, usually I wouldn't get anything back. It's not like I trash the place, it's usually just, they would contrive a way to, like, make sure that I didn't get that money, right? You move every year or 2 years because the place that you're in knows that you want to stay there and don't want to move. So they hike the rent up, in an annoying way. And you have to find something else. That's what it was like in North Texas anyway. So you're moving every couple of years and you're constantly paying these security deposits that are all usually around a month's rent. If you're lucky, sometimes they get a little wild. And usually that's like, it's really hard to come up with 2 months rent when you're moving into someplace and also absorbing the costs of, you know, moving, which can be in terms of like money and like your own personal time and labor, pretty exhausting. It sucks. Moving is awful. I don't think anyone likes to do it. So enter in Rhino, and there's other companies as well, and we can talk about them. What do they offer to the potential renter?
So Rhino offers, you know, technically the service is for the landlord, even though the renter is paying it. But basically the Rhino offers the option of paying a monthly fee that's non-refundable that a landlord accepts in lieu of a security deposit. The product is essentially an insurance for the landlord that insures the landlord against any damage to the apartment. And it does not insure the tenant. So if there is damage to the apartment and the landlord files a claim with Rhino, Rhino essentially has the option to not only pay out that claim, but they can basically submit bills to the renter after they move out to say, hey, you gotta pay this now, even though this was an insurance for the landlord.
Right, but the cell when you move in is like, you can't afford $900 for your security deposit. Why don't you just give us $3 a month for the entire time that you're in the lease, right?
Yeah, that's the pitch, and that's certainly how it's presented, how Rhino has presented itself. I cannot find any evidence, and based on my conversations with renters, it seems unlikely that the vast majority of people who use the service are paying anywhere near $3, $4, $5. It like logically doesn't really make sense. And like I've requested Rhino for data. You know, I've been reaching out to them for months and they've basically not, they have not responded once. But when you think about it, it's like, so in order for them to, or the way that they determine like how much you pay is like based on your quote unquote like risk as a renter, you know, which is going to factor in all these things. Like if you make less money, if you, you know, bad credit, if you have had bankruptcies in the past, like all this stuff. And then like other things that we don't know about because they've never made their formula public. But it stands to reason that if you are opting to pay a low, if you're opting to pay a fee instead of a refundable security deposit, you're making that decision because, you're probably not super affluent, right? Like if you don't have the upfront cost to pay a refundable security deposit, you're probably not going to be in the like lowest risk tier according to Rhino's system. So like the likelihood that people, that most people are paying $3 or $4 is very low. I think I talked to a lot of people for this story, and I think I only talked to one person who did have a pretty steady job who was paying like really low, you know, like a $5 a month fee, and they still were having issues with Rhino. But it seems like the amount that they keep saying, like, oh, you only have to pay like $3, $5, like there's not really any evidence that Rhino has produced that's like around the average of what people are paying.
And they have you pulled from presentations, right? You were able to see some sort of internal presentation where they say like the people that are paying $3 or $4 are actually the people that we run their credit and their background through a system. They've got a steady job. We know that they could probably pay more, but you know, it's easier. Like you just give them the $3 or $4 charge. It's actually the people, they target the people that with financial difficulties to pay more. Correct.
Yeah. It's not that Rhino specifically is targeting those people per se. It's, you know, it's, I would, you know, it seems likely based on, how they've set up their system that there's probably more people in that, riskier tier than there are kind of like, people in the low risk tier. But it's Rhino isn't specifically targeting anyone. They're basically, you know, they have agreements with large corporate landlords to offer the service. And then they're also trying to get bills passed across the country that would mandate a similar service to Rhino. But since they're the biggest company doing this on the market. That would usually mean Rhino. And they're basically just trying to get landlords to offer the service. Now, the landlords on their end, they sometimes are selectively deciding who has to use the service, even though, you know, Rhino has like a form or they have like a legal disclaimer that you have to fill out if you sign up for the service saying like, I am doing this willingly and I'm not forced into it. But, you know, in some cases, the landlords have been saying like, no, you have to sign up for this service because, you know, whatever your credit, we did a credit check and like you're not eligible for a security deposit, which, you know, probably in different states, the legality of that would be different. But it's, yeah, it's the landlords mainly deciding it. And the other thing that the landlords can do is, you know, they can set their security deposits higher for clients that, or for tenants that they consider high risk. Because in some states, you know, there aren't laws in every state regulating how high a security deposit can be. So because Rhino uses the security deposit amount that has been set as the landlord when they calculate, you know, how much the landlord is being insured for, and when they calculate the monthly fee that renters have to pay. Basically, a landlord can, you know, they can say, okay, this tenant who I think is high risk is going to have to pay 4 months security deposit. And then because no one's going to be able to afford a 4 month security deposit, or the vast majority of people, and certainly low income people, are not going to be able to afford a 4 month security deposit. They are essentially forced into using Rhino. So I think it's sort of like Rhino is like billing this as a product to landlords, and landlords are kind of making the determinations about who has to use the service. And it's legally murky as to whether they are able to do that. Like, none of the renter's choice bills that are kind of being presented clearly set out that landlords aren't allowed to force people into Rhino.
What is the advantage to the landlord to do this?
The advantage to the landlord is, so one thing is, in addition to being able to bill Rhino for the damages when the unit is insured, Rhino also pays for months in which the tenant can't pay rent, up to a certain amount, up to the amount that's insured. So, you know, whereas like a regular security deposit, I don't know that it necessarily can be used to pay, you know, arrears in rent. I think that Rhino's product can be used to pay, like, just when a tenant is a little bit behind 1 or 2 months, up to the amount that the landlord's been insured for, which is determined by the security deposit that they set. So I think it's like it can be quicker and easier for them, and, you know, while, as you said, a lot of people don't get their security deposits back, I think that because there are laws around security deposits, it's a little harder for landlords to be like, you know, we're not giving you back the security deposit, we're withholding X amount. I mean, sometimes they get away with it just because there aren't, you know, tenants are way less likely to have lawyers than landlords. So landlords can kind of, even if there are regulations in their state about the circumstances in which you can withhold a security deposit from a tenant, sometimes landlords can kind of roll over those laws. But there aren't really similar regulations for RINO. So, you know, it's less, I guess, annoying for the landlords if they want to get paid for some damages to the apartment, because they don't have to be like, well, can I legally withhold this deposit based on, you know, this, you know, the door is broken or something, or something, or some damage to the apartment that isn't necessarily the tenant's fault. Whereas like RINO is just like, because it's kind of, I would say unregulated, there's not, there's less of like a kind of legal, risk for, the landlord. And it's less bureaucratically annoying for them, because a lot of states you have to take a security deposit and you have to put it into an interest bearing account. And, you know, tenants can, you know, cite that law and make sure that it has been put in a interest-bearing account, even though most often we do not. But I guess it's just, you know, it's overall just like less annoying for landlords to use this kind of insurance service that renters are paying for.
Right. If something goes wrong in the apartment and you've got to recoup costs, you don't, under this system, if you're the landlord, you don't have to, if you're in a tightly controlled market, go through the legal system, sometimes literally go through the courts to try to force a renter to pay something. You've got a nice, lovely company that's between you and them that you can get the money out of, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like you said, it's kind of a middleman. And if you're a landlord, you want, like, I mean, this is kind of the trend with landlords, is they want to do as little direct landlording as possible. So you have like third party property managers, third party security deposit insurance, like everything's kind of third party, because it's like easier to just be like, sign this, pay this fee, these people will handle it. So I think that's definitely part of the appeal.
It takes some of the responsibility off of you, right? Something goes wrong, you can point to the company. It's not my fault. They screwed up. We have to deal with them. I'm as screwed over by this situation as you are, dear renter, etc.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, cyber listeners, we're going to pause there for a break. We'll be right back after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back, cyber listeners. We're back on talking about RINO. So another thing that happens with this company is that it sure seems like whatever you start paying at the beginning of your time with them may not be what you end up paying a couple months into your lease, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, over the course of the lease term, it doesn't change. I think the issue is that, like, when people renew their leases, RINO can change the policy amount at that point. So like after a year, you sign a lease renewal and RINO says, we've looked at all your info and now your costs are $30 more. And if you say, well, why are they $30 more? They'll just kind of give you a vague statement that, like, you know, we have our own system and reevaluated your credit accounts, or like your full financial picture, and we, you know, based on that, determine that your amount is higher. And there's no way to appeal, which is, you know, pretty frustrating, as you can imagine. And I think puts Rhino in kind of like a, in a, I don't want to say like a kind of gray area, but it kind of like bypasses some of the credit protections that renters would have if the determination was made only based on credit reports, because federal law says that like renters, or not just renters, all consumers have the right to request their credit report and to appeal and contest anything that looks or that they think is, you know, incorrect on their credit report. Whereas consumers and renters can't like appeal something that's in a proprietary algorithm that they don't have access to, that they don't know anything about. And Rhino, you know, while they've kind of said like, you know, they've listed a few things that go into their algorithm, they have not really ever provided a full picture of what goes into the algorithm. And it's entirely possible there's things beyond just, you know, personal finances. You know, that it could be, you know, location, it could be neighborhood, it could be things that the renter doesn't really have control over. I don't know. If anyone from Rhino is listening to this, please get in touch and tell me, because like we really don't know, you know, the full picture of how they're making these determinations.
And the renters also have no idea, and much like you, just can't get anybody on the phone, right?
Yeah, yeah. So this is like the really weird thing about Rhino. Like, it in addition to all this stuff, at some point, I think early this year, something appears to have been going like a little bit haywire at Rhino, because they, as a matter of policy, they just stopped doing phone calls. Like, they don't do phone calls with anyone. And the reason I can say as a matter of policy is because, well, first of all, everyone I talked to told me the same thing. There's no way to talk to anyone on the phone. They have a phone number. If you call it, it says, please go on our website. If you go on the website, there's like a, you know, a chat bot that's supposed to like respond to your queries. The chat bot doesn't really answer any specific questions you have. At best, it lets you file a support ticket. But there's no way to talk to anyone on the phone. I, in an attempt to get someone on the phone, filed a support ticket and just said, I would like to talk to someone on the phone. And I got a response that said, we do not do phone calls. And that response is the only communication I've ever had from Rhino. But
what if you're a landlord?
Yeah, the landlords also can't talk to them on the phone. It's really weird. Like, the landlords have not been able to talk to anyone on the phone with Rhino. At some point, they could. At some point, renters, I think like last year, some renters told me like they were able to talk to people on the phone. They had customer service people who could talk to them on the phone. At some point this year, Rhino stopped doing phone calls altogether. Like, they just refused to do them. And so everything is through these like through their website. And the only way to get any kind of communication is to like file a support ticket. And it's not even clear at first that you can file a support ticket. So you have to like know that you can file a support ticket and type in, I would like to file a support ticket. Yeah, it's wild. Like, they just altogether are not doing phone calls. Either, you know, because there were some layoffs at Rhino earlier this year. And maybe it's connected to that, or maybe it's just because a lot of the renters are very angry and confused about the service, because you know, everyone I spoke to seemed unhappy with it. It's possible there's people out there who like the service who I just wasn't able to talk to, but it seemed pretty across the board that people are confused and disgruntled about the service. But yeah, there's no way to talk to someone.
But the landlords are the real clients here, I think, right? Like they're the ones that are actually like, I'm going to use a characterization here that is mine, I will say, but it sure sounds like this service is actually for landlords and for Rhino to make money off of, and to ease the burden of not the burden to ease the landlord's life. And they're just extracting value from renters. And if the landlords can't get them on the phone either, that sounds like that's going to be a problem. Because the land, like, you're tricking, I would say, renters into taking to getting in on the service, not kind of explaining what they're getting involved in. And you have to deal with the landlords at some point, right?
Yeah, you have to deal with the landlords. But yeah, I've heard of definitely several cases where like a renter went to their landlord and was like, help me out with this Rhino thing, I can't get anyone on the phone, and the landlord is essentially like, I also have never talked to anyone on the phone there, and I have tried to and no one's ever talked to me on the phone there. So yeah, I think from a customer service standpoint, it doesn't seem like it's sustainable. But, you know, maybe there are, and certainly if you're a landlord who's used Rhino, please reach out. And I'd certainly love to know more about your communication with them. But yeah, it seems like there's been kind of across the board difficulty in getting in touch with them. And people, you know, they do everything online. You sign up for it online. You tell the renter about it online. You know, everything is handled through Rhino's website. So yeah, a lot of landlords they're aware of the service. Someone else told them about the service. You know, maybe the property manager they work with told them about the service, but they never had to like actually communicate with anyone, at Rhino. But yeah, if anyone has ever talked to them on the phone, including landlords or property managers, please get in touch. I would love to know how that went.
One of the other things that was maybe not shocking, but took me aback a little bit, is that if you're a renter, you pay in every month, right? And normally what you do is you give your $900, you give your $1,200 a month, your security deposit up front. And there's an expectation on the back end that you'll get something of that back. Rhino, it's not coming back. Like, that's just part of the deal, is that there is no security deposit refund on the back. It is a fee that you are paying every month, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a security deposit. It is literally just a fee. And the fee is essentially insurance for the landlord. You're paying a monthly fee to insure your landlord. And not only do you not get any of that back, you may have to owe more money at the end, because Rhino can come to you and bill you for damages to the apartment, even though you've been paying a monthly fee that's non-refundable.
Yeah, you talk to people that are still dealing with Rhino bills years after they left apartments that they were using Rhino in, right?
Yeah. Yeah. This is the other issue with Rhino, where, you know, I said it seemed like something went haywire, but like there seems to be a really common theme of like people keep getting charged for Rhino, even after they left the apartment, even after they tried to cancel the service, if they switch to a different property manager and that property manager doesn't use Rhino, like all these situations where it seems like the service should just stop, where Rhino keeps charging them. In one case, it was, you know, someone moved to a different state and then Rhino was still charging them for an apartment they moved out of in, you know, I think it was Texas. And they were still getting charged for that apartment and attempts to get those to get that refunded or to, you know, stop those payments were not you know, they weren't really getting responses from Rhino. They just keep getting bills and the bills got sent to collection. And yeah, just like a, there seems to be something about the company that's like sort of on autopilot right now, where they're just kind of billing people, maybe hoping they won't notice. And then like when they do notice, it seems like they're kind of difficult to talk to. And, you know, no one talks on the phone. And then you're just sort of like communicating over, you know, through these support tickets and getting terse and confusing or contradictory responses.
Where did this thing come from? Who is responsible for this?
Yeah, so it was founded in 2016 by, let me just like re-remember his name. Because it was founded by two dudes. Let me see. Oh, Ankur Jain. And there was another co-founder. But yeah, Ankur Jain is, I guess, what kids would call a Nepo baby. His dad is a billionaire, founder of like a large technology company. And Jain had founded his own kind of like venture capital firm called Kairos, which intended to, I guess, provide funding for, you know, benevolent, good startups that would make the world a better place. You know, as a Motherboard employee, I'm sure you've heard this like many, many times.
We've got another effective altruism thing going on here.
That's the vibe. That's the vibe. Yeah, that's definitely the vibe.
That always pans out super well.
Definitely a good track record for that. Yeah. But yeah, so he founded this company in 2016. And, you know, has been, there was initially a lot of good press about, Rhino. I think if you Google Rhino, you'll mostly see good press, because, yeah, they kind of build it as like the solution to, you know, high security deposits. And they kind of like pitched it to like elected officials across the country as like, here's a way to get, you know, low income people into apartments, you know, like we're removing barriers. And I think the most puzzling thing that they keep saying over and over is, again, about security deposits is like, there's billions of dollars that are just kind of like stuck here floating in these accounts, and they're not in the economy. Whereas like, you know, Rhino will put all that money back into the economy. Whereas like, you know, that obviously doesn't really make sense, because like the security deposits are supposed to be in interest bearing accounts and they're supposed to be refunded to tenants. And the money that's supposedly like back in the economy is just like money that's going to Rhino in terms of like fees. And yeah, but you know, a company that has like very heavily billed itself as altruistic, as social justice oriented, as, you know, helping poor renters, solving the housing crisis, that kind of stuff.
2019 New York Times. What if you could rent an apartment without a security deposit? Startups are disrupting the practice of shelling out thousands of dollars to rent a home.
Yeah.
There's a decent amount of that. Another one caught my eye, which I think is also an important part of this that we talked just about a little bit. So it's from a local in Florida, bill to allow landlords to charge monthly fee instead of security deposit heads to Governor DeSantis. Rhino changing laws as well. What's going on here?
Yeah, Rhino has a lobbying team, and They call it renter's choice legislation. They've gotten laws passed in Atlanta and Cincinnati. They briefly had a law almost passed in Baltimore, but the mayor of Baltimore vetoed it in response to outcry from tenant activists who actually, you know, looked at the fine print and saw that this was not something benefiting renters, even though, you know, some of the city council members were really adamant that it was really a boon to renters and were basically passing along the lobbying kind of talking points from Rhino. But yeah, Rhino has a lobbying arm. They have a website that's, I think, just like renterschoice.com, where they call it like the renter's choice movement. And it's, you know, kind of like an astroturfed thing, where they kind of, you know, suggest that it's like some great movement to help renters across the country.
Yeah, it's really funny. I keep finding more, just like you said, as I'm looking around, like insurance tech firm aims to downsize DFW's rental security deposit business. Roughly $625 million of renter security deposits is currently tied up in the city of Dallas alone, making it sound as if, you know, these terrible landlords, they're taking all these security deposits and they're just sitting on them and they're not moving around. Every story I see, except stuff like in the past couple months that's been more critical, is about how this new startup is coming in and disrupting this business, and it's going to free up a bunch of money for renters. And that is not at all what has happened, it seems.
No, it's definitely not freeing up money for renters. I mean, in theory, if it was a really low monthly payment, you know, maybe it would be, you know, in the short term, easier to pay it than a large, you know, lump sum payment. But it's like, it's still non-refundable. And I think there's two things. One is that, like you said earlier, a lot of people don't get their security deposits back. And some renters I talked to were basically like, well, you know, it sucks that I have to pay $50 a month, but if I paid a security deposit, it's not like I would get that back, because like none of my friends ever get their security deposits back. Now, the response to people not getting their security deposits back should probably be either funding more pro bono attorneys or creating a fund for low-income tenants to have their security deposits paid. It could be banning security deposits. They're not necessary. There's no reason logically why we should just sort of like accept that they're, you know, a part of doing business for renters. You know, the wear and tear on an apartment that is owned by a landlord, in the long run, the status and the quality of the apartment that, you know, if apartment improvements are being made, that goes to equity for the landlord who owns the building. So the idea that renters should be subsidizing repairs to normal wear and tear for the apartment, I don't think we should necessarily take that as a given. So there's, you know, a range of different policy responses that you can make for renters having these large security deposits and not getting them back, right? And you can make more stringent laws so that, you know, there's more penalties if renters don't get their deposits back, and et cetera. But Rhino kind of like fills in, you know, they kind of like interject there and they say, well, no, it's easier if they just like pay us, you know, like this fee, and then we'll provide this kind of like weird insurance product. And then I guess on the statement about like, you know, the money's just like tied up. It's tied up. Like, that's just like not how money works, I guess. Like, first of all, like when you have money in like an interest bearing account, like the reason you're getting interest is because the money's not being tied up. Somebody's using the money. like literally someone's using the money, or like you wouldn't be getting interest. So no, it's not tied up when it's in an interest bearing account. And, you know, we don't say to like, you know, people across the country who have savings accounts, like, well, you know, all these people have money tied up in savings accounts. What if we could put that back in the economy, you know, by us taking their savings accounts? Like, it doesn't really make any sense. So yeah, the language about like the deposits being tied up, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense when you think about it, for like 3 seconds. But yeah, that's been like their main talking point.
The thing that, one of the things that sucks about this so much, I really felt this quote at the end of somebody that's been dealing with monthly fees from Rhino, even though they haven't lived in the apartment for a long time. And it goes directly to what you're talking about right now. Quote, "I'm pretty sure I paid that fee to them directly months ago, but I don't really care to fight it anymore." If you're a renter, and I have been in this position with security deposits before, where I politely ask, and they're just like, well, no. And like, I don't have any resources to fight and get it back, even though I know that I should get the security deposit back. And now you've got like, it's not even a landlord, this person that you ostensibly have some sort of personal relationship with. It's like a company somewhere else that you can't raise on the phone. And usually it's easier to just pay it and just move on with your life, right? And that's how a company, like, and it sucks, but that's part of how a company that just sits in the middle and just sucks up fees and doesn't, nobody talk to them on the phone, how it continues. It will just keep rolling along.
Yeah. I mean, it's really rough, you know, if you're someone who's already worried about your credit, to have like a company that you can't even talk to on the phone, sending bills to collections for things that you feel like you shouldn't pay for, and for something that you feel like you shouldn't have had to pay for to begin with. You know, like, there's a term, poverty tax, that is used a lot by, you know, policy folks, that just refers to all the kind of like fees and extra payments and things that poor people have to pay that you know, people with more means don't have to pay. You know, it's like your, you know, checking account overdraft, you have to pay a fee. You know, like, why do you have to pay a fee for not having money? Like, it's just like a poverty tax. And, you know, payday loans, like that sort of thing, where like, if you need something quickly because it is gonna like keep you healthy and alive, like an apartment, you're gonna pay higher fees, higher interest. You'll pay whatever you're forced to pay. And I think there's also been like some like research by like Matthew Desmond and others, but that like, you know, in bad neighborhoods, people are paying rents that are comparable to rents in quote unquote good neighborhoods. And it's like, well, why are they doing that? Well, essentially they're getting an extra fee for the risk that they present based on the landlord's perception that they're, you know, living in this neighborhood and therefore, you know, more at risk of, you know, not paying the rent or damaging the apartment or whatever. So, I think one way to look at this is definitely at like a type of poverty tax. Like, it's, you're generally only going to be using this service if you don't have the money up front. And if you are a more quote unquote risky renter, you're going to be paying like way more exorbitant costs for the service. And then if you know, Rhino overcharges or makes things really difficult for you or does something wrong, you're going to be more concerned about it hitting your credit if you already have, you know, issues with your credit and you've been trying to get it up. So it really, I think one renter put it like it kind of holds them over a boiling pot. Like they don't have a choice to, but to pay it. And then when they try to communicate with Rhino about it, like they don't really get a response. And for me personally, when I've had problems with companies overcharging me or doing something that I don't like, yeah, I'll, you know, writing an email is nice, but like when you talk to people over the phone, like they get more like intimidated hearing people over the phone for some reason. So I think eliminating their phone calls when so many people are having issues with the service is like another big problem.
Well, we need to get out of here and go to this meeting, sir. Thank you so much for coming on to Cyber and walking us through this. What is the title? One of the stories is, oh, I've got it right here. How Landlord Tech is Squeezing Renters Who Can't Afford Security Deposits. It's on Motherboard. Check it out. And the next fucked up thing that landlords are doing, I'm sure we'll have you back on to talk about it. Thank you.
Yeah. thanks a lot for having me.
Absolutely. That's all for this week, Cyber listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are going to be back on Twitch next week at twitch.tv/vice, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Friday. Emily's going to be back. We'll be talking about all the weird and wild things that are going on the internet. We're also going to have Kashmir Hill on to talk about their book, Your Face Belongs to Us, all about clear view and facial recognition and why you should be worried about all those cameras that are out there taking pictures of your face. They even have a special guest on to discuss. Looking forward to it. We will be back next week. Stay safe out there. Internet's getting wilder, more frightening every day.
Being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.